Supervisors, please take your seats, and I will call the meeting to order. If you are here, please check in on the computer. And while we're doing the roll call, our county clerk is not here this evening because she had a family emergency to attend to. So we have our former county clerk who is assisting us tonight. So we want to thank her for coming. We also want to thank the nursing home for giving her an evening pass to join us. She was wondering if I was going to pick on her tonight, and we promised her that we would. That everybody? Okay, we have 31 board members present. That is a quorum. I would like to ask everyone to stand for a moment. I think many of you know a former county board member who passed away, I believe it was last week, Tom Relic, who was on not only the county board but also the city council. His funeral was this past weekend. And so I'd like to ask the board to have a moment of silence on his behalf. Thank you, and we'll continue with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, continuing on, we have the Chair's report, and I'm going to call on Arlene for the County Board Picnic and the WCA Convention.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay. The first is the WCA conference. I've been in contact with Cheryl in Madison, and we are not going to be holding a hospitality room, which we always did when we had the conference here, because on Sunday night they are having a Packer party till 9 o'clock, which WCA is sponsoring. And Monday night is the banquet till 9 o'clock, so there's no reason that we should put out money for a hospitality room when there's going to be other ones. So also, as far as volunteers, I will need two volunteers for the spouses tour on Monday, September 14th from 9:15 to 2:35, and two on Monday for their lunch from 11:20 until 1 o'clock. I need two people there. So sometime tonight or whenever, let me know, you and someone else interested in doing the tours for the spouses or the lunch, and maybe a couple other people in case I need them. So that's all I have on the WCA conference.
If I can add one thing, if people
yes.
are at this point planning ahead and you do intend to be there, please let the chair's office know so we can take care of your registration.
Thank you. Okay, next is the picnic, which is August 20th, and it is going to be $12 per person, and we have a balance of $10 left over from 2008, so there's a start. We're not in the hole. Also, Linda, our county clerk, and I are going to be working on some letters sending about the picnic that we send to retirees each year. And they continue receiving the notices, so we're going to ask if they, some of them never do answer, some don't come, so we're going to be deleting that list. If they're interested, we're going to have them check, yes, they would like to continue getting information, because we can save a lot of money each year on the stamps, the letters, the envelopes, you know, if they don't ever plan on coming. So with that, I'd like Jerry Sobranik has been at the Moose, and he is talking with them about our food. So, Jerry, if you would, please.
Jerry.
Thank you, Arlene. This year's picnic will consist of two entrees. We'll be serving tender roasted chicken legs, baked to perfection. Second, we will also be serving barbecued pork ribs, rubbed with the chef's special spices. Other side dishes include corn cobbets, coleslaw, relish tray, rolls, butter, the chef's personal recipe for baked beans with bacon and other scrumptious ingredients. Also, the women of the Moose will be making their special homemade potato salad. They will also be making their special homemade pasta salad. For those that attended last year's picnic, we still remember how delicious the salads were. We'll also have before dinner snacks, watermelon, watermelon balls, mixed fruit. Dinner will include milk, coffee, and assorted sodas. Dessert will be ice cream sandwiches. This is just as a preliminary menu. A complete menu will be sent to all that plan to attend with time, date, and place. In the past, Chairman Doyle has been providing the adult beverage. It's my opinion he will continue this tradition. Again, that's just my opinion. I could be right.
But that explains why there was money left over from last time, since not all of the expenses got paid. But I will be happy to take care of that. Thank you for that informative talk. Reminder for now, that is August, right? Okay, so July is what we've done in the past. So if you had it pre-marked in your calendar that we're doing the picnic in July, unmark your calendar. That is a regular county board day. August is the one where we will be meeting in the morning, just so people have that squared away. All right. Anybody have any questions on the picnic or the WCA convention? Okay.
I have one thing.
Sure.
You can either pay me or Jerry, or you can pay in the chairman's office. Margaret will take the money also from anyone that is coming. So thank you, and that's all I have to say.
Sounds great. Terry Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Are we officially changing the meeting time in August?
We checked on that, and Bill says that we actually officially already did. He looked at...
I must have missed that meeting.
Maybe you weren't paying attention.
That's another possibility. Thank you. Ouch.
But I wasn't either, apparently, because Bill pulled out...
When did we do this?
Bill pulled out whatever it was that we had
passed. When I wasn't paying attention? Can you remind me when I wasn't paying attention, Bill, please?
We looked it up because I brought it up because I didn't want to miss the picnic because I'm usually gone in July for the Habitat ride. So it was in May.
Well, that's why I'm asking the question. I was hoping it was going to be in July when you weren't going to be here, but instead it's going to be in August. That's why I don't remember voting on the time change.
Thank you.
But we
much.
Really did vote on the time change because Supervisor Burns and I always vote against that, and I don't remember doing that.
Well, feel welcome not to attend.
Okay, thank you.
But also feel welcome to attend. Neshonic, as it was last year. All right. So we've found the item on the agenda that is going to get the most attention tonight, apparently. All right. I have, on a more serious note, I have an item that I wanted to mention. I've been working real closely with various people, Gary, Steve, Bill, and others on this assisted living center at Hillview. And I know that there's been a lot of work that's happened over the last few days on it. At this point, we are still waiting for the study to come in. However, that study is not intended and is not going to answer a lot of the questions that have arisen. And so I'm bringing this up tonight just so that I can get this out and so everybody is aware of where I am coming from, and I believe also Mr. O'Malley is coming from. That this needs to be moved from the fast track to the slow track at this point because the issues that have come up, we've had questions of, you know, private versus public competition, the need for this, the target population for this, and quite honestly, those answers are not here and will not be brought by that report. And I know that when the size went from 24 to 30, that raised all new questions, including cash flow and so forth. Also, I have a bit of a concern that people raise the issue of, you know, are we competing with the privates? And so what we do is we go from 24 to 30 beds, which to me seems a little inconsistent with that concern. So I think we have way too many questions that need to be answered. So I'm going to ask the two committees, Aging and Long-Term Care and also Executive Committee, to revisit the Whipfley study, in other words, regenerate a WIPFLE study or an addendum to the WIPFLE study, and let's do this right, not do this quick, if in fact we're going to do it. So not asking for any votes or any comments or anything tonight. I just wanted to let you know that that information is not complete at this point, and I'm not expecting that it would be complete in time for a vote that would accomplish doing some sort of a building project this year. So I'm asking people, take another look at that. Audrey, we can't discuss this. It's not on the agenda.
No, just a clarification. So is the study continuing or it's placed on hold?
No, this study is, I mean,
okay,
that's already underway. It's just,
yeah,
it's only going to answer how much it's going to cost,
right,
to build, not
I understand
the other issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's all. Thank you.
So that'll be on those respective agendas for this next cycle, just so people know that. All right. That's it for me. Administrator report, Steve O'Malley.
Yes, included in my report, just a reminder to folks, if you haven't received a copy of the initial jail medical report, we tried to get that out to everyone either that's on the Judiciary and Law Committee or by email, and I made a couple of hard copies. So if you did want a copy of that, feel free to ask me if you didn't get one or your email box was full. We don't have anything back yet in reaction from HPL, but we are expecting that and their response and things that they're doing to improve at the next Judiciary and Law Committee. So we just want to make sure everybody knows that we're trying to do the best we can to improve the quality of medical service in the jail. But if you have not yet accessed that report, please make sure that I get you a copy, and that will be on the next Judiciary and Law Committee agenda in July.
John Menninger.
Yeah, just a process question, and I've raised this before. I'm not on that committee, and I don't get my email through the county. And so, therefore, I came to the last Judiciary and Law Committee, so I kind of took a five-minute peek at that, but I haven't got it. And
I've got an extra copy
not the question. The question is one of process. I mean, everybody else got that a week and a half ago via email. I still haven't got it. As an equal member of the county board, we have to figure out for those people who don't get their communications or email that we still get the material that everybody else gets, because I'm entitled to that. And that's just a process question.
Sure.
You guys can sort it out, but nobody mailed me one, and I don't serve on that committee. So there's probably, I don't know, 10 of us like that.
Okay,
good point.
We'll follow up.
Yeah.
Does anybody, specifically for tonight, does anybody need me to follow through? I've got a copy for you right now, John. I can give you that. Anybody else? Okay.
Okay, Brad Paff, Jill Billings.
Okay, I only have two extra copies right now, but I can make another copy tonight yet before we...
Well, get a new ink cartridge for Jill then, and she'll be okay then. anybody? Tammy Gameroff? Bev Mock? Okay, all sorts of people need them.
Okay, when we conclude this evening, give me a few minutes and I'll make a couple extra copies so you can actually leave tonight with that, and we'll do a better job on what happens with the HPL study when our response to this comes back in. Two other quick items.
Wait, I want to stop you for just a second on that topic. Anybody, by the way, who is interested in getting the minutes of committees or the notices of committees that you're not on, if you let the chair's office know, you will be added to that list and automatically get them. You don't have to be on the committee. You are entitled to all of that information. Let us know, whatever committee it may be, and we'll add you on. I mean, as you notice, there's a lot of other people besides board members that get copies of our notices, and we certainly don't want our actual members to be on the out. So feel welcome to just let us know that. Okay, go ahead, Steve.
We talked about it at the last meeting. I just want to touch on and verify, when you rent vehicles from Enterprise, you don't have to cover it with your own insurance. There is no deductible, so it also saves you on risk management. So if you're not getting reimbursed for mileage of your car because it's more cost-effective when you're on county business to use Enterprise, we did verify the contract does cover the insurance and the deductible. So it's an extra risk management tool as well as saving the county money when you go on county business. Work with us, work with Enterprise. Margaret can do those reservations. It's much more cost-effective if you're going to a Madison meeting or something else. Don't claim the mileage. Get us to use the Enterprise vehicle. It's for example, for a trip to Madison, it's about half the cost of reimbursing you mileage. So it's a pretty good deal for the county and for you. If there were to be an accident or something, it's fully covered under the contract. If it's your car, of course, you're covering that. We don't cover speeding tickets, though. That's not. The other one is somebody just pointed out to me that we made the national county news. It was buried in there. We got recognized that, let's see, we're being hassled by somebody about Salvation Army contracts. So that's what it's. Oh, okay. True. We're buried in the NACO about the United for Separation of Church and State. So that's how we get known nationally, is that we're being questioned about our contracts. So that's all I had, Mr. Chair.
Anybody questions for Mr. O'Malley?
No.
Okay. Cards and correspondence over there on the board. Always want to remind you of that. I don't believe there are any committee meetings during recess. Mr. Spiker has an agenda matter.
Mr. Chairman, I ask permission by motion to remove item number 12-6 under Public Works and Infrastructure, a resolution authorized to sell property at 1728 Salem Road in the city of La Crosse. And if I get a second to that, I'll speak.
I think just ask unanimous consent to remove it, and then you can explain.
I ask unanimous consent, then, Chair.
Good idea. There you go. Without objection, go ahead, Mr. Spiker.
Committee member requested that this be held over for 30 days on a request of an alder person from the city of La Crosse, because another property owner was interested in it. The more we have, the merrier it is.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Spiker. Okay, that gets us to appointments. Tara Johnson.
Let's see if I can pay attention. Chairman Doyle.
Thank you. I have three appointments as listed on the agenda and ask for their approval.
Is there a second?
Sorry.
Seconded by Supervisor Brock Miller. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. They are approved. Thank you, Chairman Doyle.
Thank you.
Next, we have the consent agenda, but there is one matter that needs to be corrected on that, I understand. Mr. Plesha, did you have something on that?
No, I guess Tara
has something on that. Oh, yeah, Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We need to make an edit in the June 8th planning meeting minutes. The reference to the resolution at the bottom of page, don't know where it is. On the top of page 39, there's no reference to a resolution. We need to insert the resolution number. If we can make that edit, please.
And that resolution number is 21-609. Okay. All right. Mr. Plesha moves to approve as amended. Second by Jerry Sobranek. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. And the rest of the consent agenda, Mr. Plesha moves to approve. Any objection, or is there a second on that, Mr. Sobranek? Any comments on that? All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. That gets us to planning, resources, and development. Mr. Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have item 5-6, a zoning petition 1811 filed by Ryan and Dawn Tauscher, acting on behalf of Maynard and Kathleen Tauscher and Dorothy Seba, to rezone from exclusive agriculture district to agriculture district A in the town of Bangor. The committee voted 5-2 in favor of this for approval. There were no conditions brought out on it. If it's approved, the deed restrictions must be recorded before it takes effect. So I move for your approval.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve. Seconded by Mr. Bina. Discussion on that. Sharon Hampson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was wondering if committee members Rauch or Mock could explain their opposition to it. I think there's a controversy in here that I can't quite get straight in my mind.
Would you like Jeff to explain that one?
Well, it won't be Tom Rauch. He's not here, so either Bev Mock or Jeff.
Okay, just the between the idea that it's a family plot and the town comprehensive plan isn't finished, you know, I'm just not sure.
Okay, let's ask Jeff to
where we're at on that.
Jeff Blesky.
The Ryan Tauscher happens to be the son of
of trying to see the name here. Well, the farm is owned by Frederick Tauscher, and Mr. Tauscher's son owns lot one, or a portion of lot one, if you take a look at the map. Ryan's father lives on parcel two, and Frederick owns the farm around this. Ryan had tried to buy a parcel north of the railroad tracks. The town right now has a minimum acreage size of 2 acres. If you look at the map, Ryan is trying to purchase 1.52. There was not 2 acres there to purchase. So the reason that staff recommended denial on this is because the county's plan right now still calls for this area to be exclusive agriculture. The town plan, which has since been approved, calls for this area to be exclusive agriculture. However, if he could have purchased 2 acres north of the road, he would have met the town's requirements. But the railroad would not give him a residential crossing across the railroad and the bike trail. So that's it in a nutshell, I guess. The town did we did get correspondence from the township, and they did recommend approval.
I voted no because it really doesn't go along with our comprehensive plan, nor does it go along with the town's plan. And I felt they just approved it, and now they're not going along with their own plan. And I guess it was the principle of the thing, and that's why I felt we need to look at our plans. Besides that, the location of this road that they okayed, it goes between two dwellings, and then it goes behind a barn, and it's really, in my opinion, not a very good location. And we were looking at it, I was looking at it, thinking they maybe need to find another way even to entrance that and divide up that land a little differently. But the reason I voted no is I just didn't believe we should say yes.
Terry Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Blusky, can you also address the issue of the, does the state statute say a son can, you know, a direct descendant, a son or a daughter can,
yes,
further subdivide, but not beyond that? And this issue, right, is that this is a grandson?
This, yes, is a grandson.
Yes.
Yeah. The farm owner, who's Frederick here, I believe, he could sell a parcel to his son or daughter without going through a rezoning, but this is his grandson that's purchasing from this. So had his father, who he is picking up about 51 feet from, had he had a farm, he wouldn't have had the rezone. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Reading the minutes, on the motion, is that a typo? It says 2I, Ralk and Mark, and 5 no. Is that a typo there?
Nice. Oh, I couldn't see you.
There was two motions.
You got to keep an eye on it.
Okay, I was reading the first one.
Okay.
Don Mina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ryan Tauscher also tried to buy some land from Dovenberg. To the left on your map there, that didn't happen. He tried to come out straight out from his plot that you see on the sheet there, straight out to the highway, and Dennis Osgood would not let him have a entranceway to his new house if he gets it, because it was too close to the other driveways, and that was turned down. So the only other alternative he would have would be eventually to get some land from Dovenberg, move it down the street a ways and come out there. But the town plan, as I understand from the town of Bangor, was not approved. The town did not approve that yet, as, mm-hmm, I understand. So it's still up limbo, and until they approve it, it isn't going to come to the county. We have three other town plans that we approved last month or the month before, but theirs is still being worked on and has not been finalized. And that is one of the reasons why there's some question about this. And besides that, the land where the two houses are, if you look at it, there's only 3.3 acres there. And in another issue a year or two ago, one of the farmers said, hey, I can't even turn my combine around on that short, that small of a field. The other thing is, from this plot toward Bangor, it's all industrial. And it's being built up because that's where the town of Bangor wants their industry. And so I really didn't see a real big problem with it. I would have had a problem if the town would have approved their plan and have in what they have and brought it to us and we would have approved it, but that hasn't happened yet. So.
Further discussion? Terry Johnson?
I'm sorry, Jeff, did you say that it has since the Planning Resource and Development meeting that the town has approved their plan?
The Planning Commission. The
Thank
Town
you.
Planning Commission approved of it.
And
send it to the town board, who has not reacted to it yet.
And that plan calls for exclusive ag.
Yes.
For this part. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes.
Further discussion. Chuck Spiker.
On your minutes for your afternoon session, you approved access easement for Ryan Tauscher. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Yes.
Any further discussion or questions? Okay. The motion before the board is to approve the zoning petition. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Vote on the computer. Sorry, Ginny. Okay, this is to approve the committee report, which is to approve the zoning petition subject to the deed restriction being recorded. If you are in favor, vote yes. If you are opposed to granting the zoning petition, vote no. Tammy, have you voted yet? Our computer doesn't think you did. Did now? Okay. All right. Motion to approve the petition has passed on a vote of 23-9. Next item, Mr. Meyer.
Item 66, zoning petition 1812, filed by Jeffrey and Tammy Baker to rezone from residential District A to agriculture District A in the town of Holland. This passed the PRB committee unanimously, and the deed restrictions again will have to be recorded if it passes. I move for your approval.
Mr. Meyer moves to the committee report, which is to approve the zoning petition, seconded by Mr. Monti. Any discussion or questions on this one? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
We have item 7-6, conditional use permit 794, filed by Daniel R. Larson for an after-the-fact permit to operate excavating and concrete business and storage in a storage yard on a parcel containing 14.71 acres of land. That's Agriculture District A in the town of Farmington. The committee voted unanimously to accept this one with 9 conditions, and they're attached to the, it's one page behind your document that you received today. I move for your approval.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve subject to the 9 conditions that are listed. Is there a second? Seconded by Leon Paff. Question for Jeff Blesky. For after-the-fact permits, is there a higher fee?
Yeah, our normal fee is $372, so he had to pay double that.
Double for after-the-fact? Okay, thank you. Discussion? Questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 8-6, conditional use permit number 795, filed by Rosalie B. Wolf, acting on behalf of Russell Shams, doing business as RJS Mobile Modular Transport, to operate a mobile home transport and mobile repair business with inside and outside storage on 0.45 acres of zoned commercial or zoned agriculture A in the town of Madary. The committee voted unanimous to accept this with 11 conditions, and they are also defined in your packet.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve subject to 11 conditions as listed, seconded by Mr. Bina. Discussion or questions on this one? Jill Billings.
I'm just wondering if the town ended up weighing in on this at the end.
Have we heard from the town? Jeff Blesky says no. Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Is that it for you, Mr. Meyer?
That's it, except if you'd been on the tour with us, we had a flat tire and had to come out and rescue us and bring us back. So, thank you.
Another reason to use those cars from Enterprise. Executive Committee, Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have first consideration of an ordinance to create Section 1.78 to be entitled Sustainable La Crosse Commission of the General Code of La Crosse County. I ask that we hold it over and vote on it next month, please.
That'll be held over until next month.
Then I have item 10-6 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding direction to the county administrator on the 2010 annual budget. Whereas the proposed 09-11 state budget recommends continuing the levy freeze for 2 more years and increasing the levy limit to 3% or net new construction, and whereas the county administrator has primary responsibility for submission of the annual budget to the county board under Section 59.18, Parent 5, now therefore be it resolved that the county administrator is directed to prepare a 2010 annual budget in cooperation with county department heads, which minimizes negative impacts on county programs and services while staying within state-imposed operating levy limits and funding allocations. Be it further resolved that the county administrator shall present budget options and issues to the county board and governing committees in August and September to gain input before completing the final budget recommendation. Fiscal note is that the 2009 adopted budget tax levy is $28,213,018 with an average total tax rate of $3.73 per thousand. If the state approves a 3% increase in operating levy, it would generate approximately $700,000. The estimated loss of state aid and revenues could exceed $1 million, resulting in a net loss of $300,000. It was unanimously approved by committee, and I move its approval here tonight.
Moved by Tara Johnson, seconded by Margaret Wood. Steve O'Malley.
The chairman asked that I just keep you up to date, obviously, on the process and what's happening at the state level. The Assembly, of course, has passed their budget. You may also know that today, or just yesterday, the Senate adopted their version of it. There are several things. Let me just summarize that it continued. There's very little good news in the state budget for counties or local governments. The only good news that I've been able to determine so far is that the certified public expenditure funding for our nursing homes seems to be preserved and was enhanced slightly by the Senate today or in yesterday's bill. It means several hundred thousand dollars to both of our nursing homes, which is very positive. And the issue that was lobbied for by the legislative committee as well as aging long-term care members is that that $37 million, instead of being a ceiling, will now be raised to $40 million, which will be the floor of CPE money. So it reinstates what, unless it's vetoed by the governor, it's very good news for ongoing funding for the nursing homes. The bad news, of course, is that shared revenue will be decreased by over $117,000, and will be in 2010 and 11. It will not be in 2009. Human services cuts are approaching $500,000 each year. We're yet to see, and Health and Human Services Board, of course, has seen these details and discussed this at their most recent meeting. It's unclear how much of that will impact the 2009 budget. We're hoping that most of it will, because of the overlap between our calendar year budget and the state's biennium, that it will be in next year, but we don't have verification of that yet. The Health and Human Services Board knows, and management staff and human services know that we've been looking at and are moving ahead with some restructuring items to try to deal with some of those cuts. But, of course, the committee or the Health and Human Services Board has been brought up to speed on that, and each month you'll end up dealing with some of those issues as we go ahead. Probably one of the biggest impacts, and we talked about this at Public Works, is the impact on tipping fees. The state, in their wisdom, in both actions by the two houses, are having one of the largest increases in tipping fees at the landfill by adding from a $5.90, as I understand it, basically a tax or fee that happens right now. They're adding $7 to that. That will be one of the largest increases in landfill tipping fees that will impact. And I know the local jurisdictions are watching that very closely. It will be a public relations issue that we'll need to talk about and work with the haulers and work with our municipalities, because it will be impact. The positive part, of course, is that's not levied on anything that's brought to the Xcel Energy plant. So it should be everything that we can to promote diversion of waste wherever possible to the burning plant instead of the landfill. We'll save people money and avoid that fee. There are several smaller cuts that will impact various departments, but they aren't. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. We will, of course, have to deal with the increased WRS contribution, which is about $400,000 in each of the next several years because of the loss of Wisconsin Retirement Investment Portfolio. And, of course, you know that all of our 2010 contracts except one are settled. So we know, at least within the framework of the budget, what we've got to deal with right now, if it's not drastically changed by either the conference committee, which is expected to be appointed, or the governor. We are having positive reaction by our employees on the Leave Without Pay program. Hopefully in July we'll present to you some of the results of that and how much that may save us. Coincidentally, tomorrow a number of us are going to build a Habitat home in Holman and work on that on our Leave Without Pay for one day. So we're going to try to give back a little bit that way as well. The best news, and one of the things that I want to share with you, is that we're still on pace to license the Mississippi Valley Health Services as of July 1st. The reason that that's good news, and I'm bringing up in the overall context, is that the revenue from the other counties that we'll be recognizing, we have not been able to count on until it's actually licensed. That means we should be able to, and a significant part of our budget solution will be to be able to reduce the Lakeview Nursing Home levy that we currently support. So that will be a significant benefit to us as we work towards preserving services, minimizing the impact on taxpayers, and living within the limits that the state has set with their cuts. The fact that we're able to, in 2010, access the revenue from the other counties for MVHS will end up being a significant part of our budget solution that will make us unique to other counties. But again, that's been because of our work, the work of staff, the work of the committees, the work of the other counties that are willing to work with us. So it's going to be a significant part of our budget solution, and we'll continue to work with you and bring you options in August and September so you know some of the things that we're working on before we just finish our work and recommendation.
Earlier this week at the Criminal Justice Management Council, Mr. Veenstra had one bit of good news eventually that we'll have. Mr. Veenstra? Yes, you did. Public defender. Oh, I thought you followed up on it, though, then.
Oh,
okay. Anyway, we'll give you credit.
It was early in the morning. Apparently, in the budget and Joint Finance Committee, they raised the eligibility guidelines for eligibility to have a public defender. It won't be instituted, I don't think, until 2011, but considering it's been 20 years since they raised it, That's better than nothing. And what that'll do is mean the state will be responsible for paying for criminal defense attorneys for indigent folks. And they've also, in the state budget, indicated something like 40 additional public defenders would be hired to base cover those people who would qualify under the new guidelines. So hopefully the numbers that the county has been paying, and which necessitated the contracts that we entered into with criminal defense attorneys, it'll go down. So, good news.
What are we paying this year for those costs? Gary, you know off the top of your head? Because we've been harping on this for the last several years, and nobody had been listening, so this is really good news.
The legal plus the legal guardian, is guardian excluded, or is that included?
Probably just the legal in this
okay,
one.
Okay, the legal is $350,000.
$350,000. So hopefully it'll take a big chunk of that away.
So I'll need to follow up on that and see what the impact might be. But again, that is 2011. That I was unaware of that, so I want to follow up on that. Yeah.
Any other questions? Chuck Spiker.
Yeah, Steve, it goes to conference committee. That's the Senate and Assembly. Does not it go back to the respective assembly and that with a no amendments offered?
Right.
So there is a chance. I mean, votes have only been slim. Maybe they count, but one person sick that day, they vote on it. Then it goes to governor for.
As of today, there's also a rumor flying around that they may message it, and I don't understand that exact process, but they may message it and just bring it back to both houses and make very minor changes and just adopt it. So there's all kinds of politics going on right now. I imagine that in Madison politics, but it may not have the conference committee is the latest rumor I heard from one of our lobbyists today.
John, what does that mean, messaging it instead of doing a conference committee?
Well, I think I remember doing it once. I'm trying to remember right off. It's a way for the majority party to bypass the minority party, but you just message it to the governor on a majority vote, and then you don't have to take any. You don't have to listen. You don't have to put up with 50 more amendments.
Right.
So there would be no conference committee?
That's what the rumor is.
Yeah, there's a way to do it. I forget exactly.
Really? How. Okay, interesting. All right. John?
Obviously, I think all of us have been watching what's going down in Madison, and the media this year has been very critical of the process. And I think if anybody has really been paying attention, this process is not any different than any budget for the last 40 years. It is probably not necessarily pretty. It's messy. It's sometimes it makes you want to throw up, the closed-door meetings, late-night sessions. But it's not anything that both parties haven't done in the past. That's not an excuse of it. It just seems like this year the media has been a little bit more critical than in the past. But at least in Wisconsin, we have a process. Both houses, we have a legislative branch and an executive branch. We bounce it back between both houses. People get to offer their amendments. And somehow, I think, in the end, the will of the people will be done. What shocks me is the lack of an outcry for the Minnesota process, where the governor just waits for the legislature to adjourn and go home, and the governor, all by his or herself, but in this situation, himself, unilaterally, without an equal branch of government, determines $2.7 billion. Where is the outrage? When did Minnesota become a dictatorship instead of a democracy with an equal branch of government called the legislature? I don't understand it. That's not pretty. That's bad.
Further discussion. Margaret Wood.
Thank you. I was at a meeting, though, where it was reported that the majority party did approach the minority party and ask for amendments, and we're told that they would see them during the deliberations. So I think there has been an attempt to change the way things have worked, but it takes two people to play change.
Sharon Hampson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's another interesting movement going on there having to do with alcohol abuse, and it involves things like requiring ignition locks on cars and changing some drunk driving offenses from misdemeanor to felony, and requiring jail time, which at the current moment does not include sanctions like electronic monitoring would not be allowed there. So that leaves a big bill in the laps of counties, and they're talking about possibly funding that through the alcohol tax. So that alcohol tax that everybody says is the third rail of Wisconsin politics may actually come to fruition if they follow through with some of their alcohol abuse things. So it's just another interesting one to watch.
But that would totally mess up our OWI court.
Oh, I know. It would impact our whole
and
justice
our court
sanctions
system
program.
And the
right.
court
That's
calendar
right.
and it's the jail and justice sanctions.
And it's
sanctions.
Just being pushed as a public health issue without looking at the economic repercussions of it. So that's one to keep track of.
Specifically on the resolution, I had asked, I mean, what the heck, might as well talk about that a little bit here before we vote on it. I had asked Steve to insert the be it further resolved. Given the nature of what's going on in the economy with the budget and everything else, whether you guys like it or not, I think that the board needs to be more involved perhaps than ever before in the budget process. And so that, in fact, will start in August and September. And Steve, can you just give any indication of your preliminary plans and how that's going to happen?
Well, we're going to continue to, but once we know exactly what's adopted, is we will try to identify what we feel are, for lack of a better term, the top 10 issues or policy decisions within the budget. I can identify some of those already, which includes the impacts and restructuring within human services, the issues related to the Crisis Mental Health Center, and how that will help us control costs and deal with the cutbacks. The Lakeview levy reduction, the Lakeview capital plan, a number of personnel items that we'll end up dealing with, obviously any program cuts that will be necessary for us to hit the mark. So those probably six or seven items already that we've established, and we will come back through the governing committee and the board process as we go along. And, of course, at any given time, if you've got a priority or a program change or a priority cut that you think we should identify, let me know, or when we have it on committee agenda, make sure that we're following through in your direction.
If there's something that's not on the list that you want on the list, let them know. Brad Paff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my comments are more directed just towards the wording and the wording of the resolution. For instance, on the now therefore be resolved, in the third sentence down, we talk about county programs and services, and you know, I know what that is. I think we know what that is, but I guess I would just ask the staff to talk about humanizing this a little bit more. I mean, the media, the national media and the state media is, you know, having a field day talking about spending and programs and services and the economy and everything else, but I think we need to talk about the humanizing effect of what these programs and what these services, what they mean to people here in La Crosse County and within the community. I think you're absolutely right, Mr. Chairman. This is a difficult budget. I think that we as a county board are going to have to be more involved this given year, because I think that our residents, our constituents, are going to, you know, ask an awful lot as far as, you know, what's going on with this budget and with this economy. And I just think it's important that, you know, people recognize that here in La Crosse County, they're getting a pretty good deal for their tax dollars. But I think in order to do that, we need to kind of humanize and tell our stories a little bit more. So I guess that's my comment. And then the other question I have is regarding the fiscal note. Steve O'Malley, is if I'm to judge, this is kind of an estimate. If the state approves a 3% increase in operating levy, it would generate approximately $700,000, and it is estimated that the state, the La Crosse County, will lose $300,000 of state aid and revenues, or state aid and revenues could exceed $1 million, resulting in a net loss of $300,000. These are all estimates?
That was an estimate at the time of the preparation. The number is slightly less than that because of the CPE money that I informed you about, as well as some of the changes
right.
in the human services cuts. So at the time of presentation, that was our best estimate. We can give you more exact once it's adopted, but the good news is it's slightly better than that, but that doesn't address the issue of wage and benefit settlements that we already have, the $400,000 in WRS that is an increase. So we could have provided a lot longer yeah. fiscal note, but in essence, it just was a way of illustrating that.
And then just to wrap up, I couldn't agree with John Menninger more. What's happening in Minnesota is just absolutely hard to believe. With all those state representatives and all those state senators, for a governor to stand up there and decide that, you know what, local government aid is gone. Thank you, Don.
Terry Johnson? I thought you had your hand up. No? Okay. Don Bina?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was kind of waiting at the beginning. Bev and I were going to give some reports, but you didn't have any conference reports on your beginning of your county board meeting, but I do have something that I thought has an effect.
Does that relate to this resolution? We're
well,
still discussing the budget resolution.
That's why I was going to talk about something that may have an effect on the resolution, and it's come time or time off. And if you don't want me to talk about it, I can wait until next meeting or something.
No, if it relates to this resolution, then talk about it now. Otherwise, we need to take a vote on the resolution. So does it relate to this resolution?
It relates to the budget, but not necessarily to this resolution.
Okay.
Leave it go.
Okay. Further discussion on this resolution? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Is that it for you, Tara Johnson? Thank you. Then next up, Judiciary and Law.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item 11.6, an ordinance to amend Section 1.57, Parent 1, regarding membership in the Criminal Justice Management Council of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin. This is its first reading. Mr. Chairman, I would like to suspend the rules and to vote on it at this meeting. With a second.
Vicki Burke moves to suspend the rules to vote on at this meeting. Second by John Menninger. Discussion on suspending the rules. Jill Billings.
I'm wondering the rationale.
It simply is related to the membership on the Criminal Justice Management Council, and it's actually adding another member in the category of a police chief. We have on the council a police chief from the city of La Crosse, and then one who was appointed by the county board chair, either from the police, the Coulee Region Chiefs Association, or a similar law association. So it simply increases
but
the that
to specifically answer your question about the rationale for moving it along faster, is he's been at the last one or two meetings.
Yes.
Already participating.
We don't really take
a lot of votes at Criminal Justice Management Council. Things are done more by consensus. Further discussion on suspension of the rules. All in favor of suspending the rules to vote on this tonight, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Vicki Burke moves the ordinance. Is there a second to that? Second by Tara Johnson. Discussion. Jeff Schrader.
I guess I really don't understand why you want to specifically name the police chief of the city of La Crosse when you're, I think the board appoints the police chief, is it at large throughout the county?
No, the police chief from the city of La Crosse or his designee has always been on the Criminal Justice Management Council.
Mr. Chairman, maybe I can shed some light on it. I think the feeling might be, too, that when it comes to the criminal justice system and actually the number of offenders that we have within the system, at least at the secure facility, many of them come from the city of La Crosse or that particular agency. I think that that's a reason for having the chief from the city of La Crosse, yet we wanted to have representatives, too, from the other chiefs in the county, and so this would satisfy that membership and I think give us a better representation of those from the city as well as the rural.
And I need to correct my statement. I was wrong. It's not always been the police chief from La Crosse. Randy Williams was on
at
for a while.
At one time, it was, right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So not always La Crosse. Okay. Further discussion or questions? Anyone? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Is that it for you, Ms. Burke?
Yes.
Thank you very much. And we don't have anything from Public Works Infrastructure, so items for future agendas. Anybody have that or any announcements? John Menninger?
My brain's been working again, and I hate to, maybe nobody cares, but on that messaging to the Senate, the question of messaging to the Senate rather than a conference committee, I think everybody assumes that the two houses will go to conference committee. But if 50 people in the assembly agreed with the version that passed the Senate, they would just concur with the Senate version and message it to the governor. You avoid a conference committee if they think, if they agree with what the Senate passed. Done.
Over. Okay. Thank you, John. Ralph Geary.
Earlier, something got referred to committee about the assisted living.
Well, it's already in committee.
Right. And they're talking about cash flow. I want to know, is there a situation where assisted living could maybe lose $50,000, but the nursing home will actually gain $100,000? You know, by having a certain census there, does that affect Hillview's bottom line? So I want that looked into. I don't want to just be narrowly focused on the assisted living.
Right.
I want to know what
we'll focus on that in committee and follow up. It's a bit more complicated than that, which is one of the reasons that we're asking to take more time.
Okay, I saw more hands this direction. Bev Mock.
I have a question about the ordinance that was read once, and we read it again next time. It's Ordinance 71, the item 9-6. In the executive committee minutes, it was passed as Sustainable La Crosse County Commission and unanimously. And in the written ordinance that we received and that was read tonight, it does not have the word county anywhere in this. And I'm just wondering if it's a mistake in the minutes, or is it supposed to have county in it?
Mr. Shepherd, do you know?
They must have put the wrong title in the minutes, because the ordinance has always been Sustainable La Crosse Commission.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to know.
Oh, good question.
Okay.
Jeff Schrader.
An announcement, sir. This weekend, in case anybody hasn't been looking at the billboards and everything around town, it's Freedom Fest weekend, and we're sending a flight of World War II veterans to Washington, D.C., and I'd like to invite everybody to come out to the airport and see them come back or send them off. That would be Saturday morning or Saturday night. Also, there's an event at the Memorial Field up here, and it's free to watch Michael Martin Murphy, and also you can take a tour of the Veterans Memorial Stadium. But the concert is free, and then after that they proceed out to the airport to for another concert, and the veterans return after that.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Schrader. Steve O'Malley has another thing.
Before we're done, I just want to verify Brad, John, and Tammy, and who else wanted a copy? Bev. Okay, if you're willing to hang around, I'll go get that done while you're doing these.
Dan Vina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There also, over this weekend, is the June Dairy Day breakfast. It is up on St. Joseph Ridge. It's at Vince Hunt's farm. You take 33 out of town, and when you hit 162, go toward Coon Valley about a mile, and you'll find the place on the right, on the left-hand side. There is a cost to that. I don't know how much. It starts at 6 o'clock in the morning if you want to be there early, and it's a small farm. I think they have about 35 cows they milk. It's not one of these factory farms. It's a regular family farm, and that is on Saturday morning from 6 until 11.
Thank you, Mr. Bina. Jerry Sobran. Oh, no, not yet. Tara Johnson.
I'm just doing a check on the committee meeting schedule. Executive committee meeting, what time is our start time?
3:30.
So it's incorrect on the pink sheet. It says 4 o'clock, and I think it should be 3.
Yep. anybody's interested, please make a note of that. It's 3:30 from now on. Jeff Schrader.
And I forgot to add, this is also Island Days on French Island for the weekend. It's not Sandbird Days anymore. It's Island Days.
Any other announcements?
I'd like to move to adjourn.
No, you can't, because Jerry Sobranek already had his hand up to do that. You could, but you can second it. All in favor, say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.